Okay, sweet kitty.
We're continuing chapter 24 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Harry spent most of the next day dreading the evening. His morning's potion lesson did nothing to dispel his trepidation, as Snape was as unpleasant as ever. And Harry's mood was further lowered by the fact that members of the DA were continually approaching him in the corridors between classes, asking hopefully whether there would be a meeting that night. "I'll let you know when the next one is," Harry said over and over again, "but I can't do it tonight. I've got to go to remedial potions." "You take remedial potions?" asked Zacharias Smith superciliously, having cornered Harry in the entrance hall after lunch. "Good Lord, you must be terrible. Snape doesn't usually give extra lessons, does he?"
"Carrie, you're on my side, so if you..."
"No, I'm not. This is my side, too. Look how much more you have." "No,
here you're on fine, but down there..." "That's why you were kicking me with your feet."
As Smith strode away in an annoyingly buoyant fashion, Ron glared after him. "Shall I jinx him? I can still get him from here," he said, raising his wand and taking aim between Smith's shoulder blades. "Forget it," said Harry dismally. "It's what everyone's going to think, isn't it, that I'm really stupid?" "Hi, Harry," said a voice behind him. He turned around and found Cho standing there. "Oh," said Harry as his stomach leapt uncomfortably. "Hi." "We'll be in the library, Harry," said Hermione firmly, and she seized Ron above the elbow and dragged him off toward the marble staircase.
Mm-hmm.
"Had a good Christmas?" asked Cho.
"Yeah, not bad," said Harry.
"Mine was rather quiet," said Cho. For some reason, she was looking rather embarrassed. "There's another Hogsmeade trip next month. Did you see the notice?" "What? Oh, no, I haven't checked the notice board since I got back." "Yes, it's on Valentine's Day," she said. "Right," said Harry, wondering why she was telling him this. "Well, I suppose you want to..." "Only if you do," she said eagerly. Harry stared. He'd been about to say, "I suppose you want to know when the next DA meeting is," but her response did not seem to fit. He said. "It's okay if you don't," she said, looking mortified. "Don't worry, I'll see you around." She walked away. Harry stood staring after her, his brain working frantically, and then something clunked into place. "Cho! Hey, Cho!" He ran after her, catching her halfway up the marble staircase. "Do you want to come to Hogsmeade with me on Valentine's Day?" "Yes," she said, blushing crimson and beaming at him. "Right, well, that's settled then," said Harry. And, feeling that the day was not going to be a complete loss after all, he headed off to the library to pick up Ron and Hermione before their afternoon lessons, walking in a rather bouncy way himself. How do you think he did there?
Better than usual.
By 6 o'clock that evening, however, even the glow of having successfully asked out Cho Chang was insignificant to lighten the ominous feeling that intensified with every step Harry took towards Snape's office. He paused outside the door when he reached it, wishing he were almost anywhere else, and then, taking a deep breath, knocked and entered. It was a shadowy room lined with shelves bearing hundreds of glass jars, in which floated slimy bits of animals and plants, suspended in various colored potions. In a corner stood the cupboard full of ingredients that Snape had once accused Harry, now without reason, of robbing. Harry's attention was drawn toward the desk, however, where a shallow stone basin engraved with runes and symbols lay in a pool of candlelight. Harry recognized it at once, Dumbledore's pensive. Wondering what on earth it was doing here, he jumped when Snape's cold voice came out of the corner. "Shut the door behind you." You know what that reminds me of?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I read his lines, I try to think of Alan Rickman, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, the shut the door sounds like shoot the glass from Die Hard. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Die Hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Alan Rickman is the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he's like, "She's a Dean Fenster!" and just yelling at his guys. And then they're, you know, his German henchmen, and they're all like, what? What should we do? And then he goes, shoot the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, now that you say it in English, we understand. Harry did as he was told, with the horrible feeling that he was imprisoning himself as he did so. When he turned back to face the room, Snape had moved into the light and was pointing silently at the chair opposite the desk. Harry sat down and did so, his cold black eyes fixed unblinkingly upon Harry, dislike etched into every line of his face. "Well, Potter, you know why you are here," he said. "The headmaster has asked me to teach you occlumency. I can only hope that you prove more adept at it than potions." "Right," said Harry tersely. "This may not be an ordinary class, Potter," said Snape, his eyes narrowed malevolently. "But I am still your teacher, and you will therefore call me sir or professor at all times." "Yes, sir," said Harry. "Now, occlumency. As I told you back in your dear godfather's kitchen, this branch of magic seals the mind against magical intrusion and influence." "And why does Dumbledore think I need it, sir?" said Harry, looking directly into Snape's dark, cold eyes, and wondering whether he would answer. Snape looked back at him for a moment and then said contemptuously, "Surely you have worked that out by now, Potter. The Dark Lord is highly skilled in legilimency. "What's that, sir?" "It's the ability to extract feelings and memories from another person's mind." "He can read minds?" asked Harry quickly, his worst fears confirmed. "You have no subtlety, Potter," said Snape, his dark eyes glittering. "You do not understand fine distinctions. It is one of the shortcomings that makes you such a lamentable potions maker." Snape paused for a moment, apparently to savor the pleasure of insulting Harry, before continuing. "Only muggles talk of mind-reading. The mind is not a book to be opened at will and examined at leisure. Thoughts are not etched on the inside of skulls to be perused by any invader. The mind is a complex and many-layered thing, Potter, or at least most minds are," he smirked. "It is true, however, that those who have mastered legilimency are able, under certain conditions, to delve into the minds of their victims and interpret their findings correctly. The Dark Lord, for instance, almost always knows when someone is lying to him. Only those skilled at occlumency are able to shut down those feelings and memories that contradict the lie, and so utter falsehoods in his presence without detection." Whatever Snape said, legilimency sounded like mind-reading to Harry, and he did not like the sound of it. "So he could know what we're thinking right now, sir?" "The Dark Lord is at a considerable distance, and the walls and grounds of Hogwarts are heavily guarded by many ancient spells and charms to ensure the bodily and mental safety of those who dwell within them," said Snape. "Time and space matter in magic, Potter. Eye contact is often essential to legilimency." "Well then, why do I have to learn occlumency?" Snape eyed Harry, tracing his mouth with one long, thin finger as he did so. "The usual rules do not seem to apply to you, Potter. The curse that failed to kill you seems to have forged some kind of connection between you and the Dark Lord. The evidence suggests that at times when your mind is most relaxed and vulnerable, when you are asleep, for instance, you are sharing the Dark Lord's thoughts and emotions. The headmaster thinks it inadvisable for this to continue. He wishes me to teach you how to close your mind to the Dark Lord." Harry's heart was pumping fast again. None of this added up. "But why does Professor Dumbledore want to stop it?" he asked abruptly. "I don't like it much, but it has been useful, hasn't it? I mean, I saw that snake attack Mr. Weasley, and if I hadn't, Professor Dumbledore wouldn't have been able to save him, would he, sir?" Snape stared at Harry for a few moments, still tracing his mouth with his finger. When he spoke again, it was slowly and deliberately, as though he weighed every word. "It appears that the Dark Lord has been unaware of the connection between you and himself until very recently. Up till now, it seems you've been experiencing his emotions and sharing his thoughts without him being any the wiser. However, the vision you had shortly before Christmas..." "The one with the snake and Mr. Weasley?" Do not interrupt me, Potter, said Snape in a dangerous voice. As I was saying, the vision you had shortly before Christmas represented such a powerful incursion upon the Dark Lord's thoughts. I saw inside the snake's head, not his. I thought I told you not to interrupt me, Potter. But Harry did not care if Snape was angry. At last, he seemed to be getting to the bottom of this business. He had moved forward in his chair so that without realizing it, he was perched on the very edge, tense as though poised for flight. How come I saw through the snake's eyes if it's Voldemort's thoughts I'm sharing? Do not say the Dark Lord's name, spat Snape. There is a nasty silence. They glared at each other across the pensive. Professor Dumbledore says his name, said Harry quietly. Dumbledore is an extremely powerful wizard, Snape muttered. While he may feel secure enough to use the name, the rest of us... He rubbed his left forearm, apparently unconsciously, on the spot where Harry knew the dark mark was burned into his skin. I just wanted to know, Harry began again, forcing his voice back to politeness, why... You seem to have visited the snake's mind because that was where the Dark Lord was at that particular moment, snarled Snape. He was possessing the snake at the time, so you dreamed you were inside it too. And he realized I was there? It seems so, said Snape coolly. How do you know? Asked Harry urgently. Is this just Professor Dumbledore guessing, or... I told you, said Snape, rigid in his chair, his eyes slits. To call me sir. Yes, sir, said Harry impatiently. But how do you know? It is enough that we know, said Snape repressively. The important point is that the Dark Lord is now aware you are gaining access to his thoughts and feelings. He has also deduced that the process is likely to work in reverse. That is to say, he has realized that he might be able to access your thoughts and feelings in return. And he might try and make me do things? Asked Harry. Sir, he added hurriedly. He might, said Snape, sounding cold and unconcerned. Which brings us back to occlumency.
Maybe we'll stop there. Hope you like that, kitty poo. I hope you have a good night's sleep. You're the sweetest, most beautiful girl in the whole world.